Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. My name is Rod, and our mission is to inspire you to travel more together. Whether it's adventures just outside your front door to all over the world, we hope to motivate you and give you the resources to be able to travel more. On today's episode, I am excited to speak with Jenna and Ryan Woods, two entrepreneurs coming out of California, whom after owning and selling a couple of businesses, they were currently living a traditional 9-to-5 lifestyle. They gave birth to their baby girl, Evelyn, and decided to change things up. They packed themselves up into an RV and decided to travel to all 50 US states, all while chasing a broader goal and trying to break a Guinness World Record. So if you're curious about what it's like to travel full-time in an RV, what it's like to do it with a newborn and a dog along the way, then this is the episode for you. So without further ado, here is my chat with Jenna and Ryan Woods of @EvelynExplores. So I want to give a big introduction and welcome to Ryan and Jenna Woods. Their Instagram handle is @EvelynExplores, and I'm really excited to uncover their fascinating story. So welcome to the show, Ryan and Jenna.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So I just wanted to start a little bit with an introduction. So, you know, who are you guys? Where did you come from? And what are you up to right now?
So we were born and raised in Northern California, and we actually met when we were going into high school. We were 13, and we didn't start dating until we were 15, and we just kind of became inseparable really from that point and have been for the last 17 years.
And we were best friends first, and then 2 years into high school, we started dating.
And we went to UC Davis, and it was after graduation that we moved back home while we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do after college. And we kind of were in that era where they say you go to college and then you get a job, and then there were no jobs. So we were just going to regroup. And in the meantime, we decided we were going to start a business. So we started a shaved ice and coffee house, and we're very fortunate that it really took off faster than we had ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. And where was your shaved ice and coffee house at?
So this was in Modesto, and that was near our hometown.
It's in Northern California. Okay.
And the blessing of and the curse of owning a retail business is that we're lucky that it took off, but we really became tied down to the responsibilities that it brought. It was about 2 years later that we ended up starting another business, and we started a distillery. The distillery was also in Modesto, so we went from making shaved ice to making alcohol.
Where did that idea to start a distillery come from?
It was with family friends, and Ryan can actually explain.
Yeah, we had been approached by some family friends. They saw that we were able to start a business from a startup phase, and we put a business plan together, and we were one of the biggest producers on the West Coast within the first year. Barrel-aged spirits being our coup de grace, bourbons, smoked whiskeys.
It was kind of out of left field when we first started it, but we really loved the industry. We clearly liked being entrepreneurs. In the meantime, they told us that we couldn't have children of our own. We had purchased a home, and it was in about 2016 that we kind of just looked around and were like, we're really not happy here right now. We're not content with our circumstances. So we just kind of picked up and relocated down to Los Angeles. And we started working for another distillery. We sold our businesses and took that normal 9-to-5 job working together. And unfortunately, when we moved down there, we still just realized that the 9-to-5 thing wasn't our jam. And that's how we got to where we are. We started talking about taking this trip.
Yeah, we are definitely in the transition from having a 9-to-5 to kind of having a flexible lifestyle as, you know, entrepreneurs and photographers while we travel. So At this point, I can't imagine going back to the 9-to-5. Okay, so you've gone back to work, and then you had this crazy idea, right?
Yeah. So, well, in the meantime, once we moved down to Los Angeles, that's when we were hit with the surprise of Evelyn, and we'd only been down there for a few months when we found out that we were pregnant, and we were still. I mean, to this day, we're still shocked that she's here.
It's kind of a funny story. We were actually at Disneyland, and we thought Jenna had gotten food poisoning. So we took her to the ER that night, and they came back and they said, so do you guys know you're pregnant? And we're like, excuse me, what?
We thought it was a bad churro. I was about to write Disney.
Bad churros.
Yeah.
But I think exactly, you know, what you said is flexibility is key. Once we realized that the pregnancy was going to stick around and that we were actually going to have a daughter, that we kind of looked around again and it felt like we had just moved to Los Angeles. So we were afraid of making that big change again. But that's when we realized life is so short. We need to figure out what's going to make us happy right now.
And what is it that is you decided on making you happy?
So for us, it was just right before we left on the trip, something that has really stuck with me is one of our best friends told us that time is the most important commodity that we have. Most people think it's things or the finances that you have in your life, but we can't get that time back. And for us, the fact that we weren't supposed to be parents, that we had fully accepted that fact, the fact that she's here and we get to be parents with her, it made it that much more important to us to be able to spend that time with her and not miss any of those big milestones. The trip was just kind of a natural progression of wanting to spend that time together and being able to see family and friends, getting to meet her before she was a year old or old enough to walk.
Mm-hmm. So you're mentioning a trip, and I'm assuming that trip that you're talking about is RVing across the country, right?
Yeah. So the original thought process was we have a lot of family and friends that are scattered all across the states, and we were trying to figure out how we could meet all of Evelyn could meet all of them before she was, you know, walking. So we were like, okay, it's going to be a small fortune to be able to fly everywhere. And then we got to thinking, and it's like, well, what if we drove? And then it's like, okay, well, we could buy an RV and just kind of change up our lifestyle.
So right now we're actually in Dallas visiting my aunt. This was how the trip originally started, which is funny because we said, oh, we'll drive out to Dallas. We'll see Aunt Kathy. Then we decided, well, there's other people we want to see as well. And we couldn't bear eliminating any of the names off of our list. We were sitting up on a roof one night and we were barbecuing and we talked about, well, why don't we just visit all of the states? We kind of laughed. And then we woke up the next morning and the idea just didn't go away. And then that was when we had to start planning how to make that a reality. But renting an RV is very expensive. It's probably just as expensive as staying in hotels across the nation. So we pulled our finances together, made sure we could make it feasible and decided just to buy the RV. Neither of us have actually ever been inside of an RV. So it was funny because the first RV that we looked at was actually the one that we bought.
Yeah.
And we didn't end up test driving it. The first time we drove it was off of the lot. And we have this feeling of, oh my gosh, what are we doing? But we have something that's very manageable. We got a 24-foot RV and it's perfect for us. I actually just drove it for the first time in Colorado. And we had a truck before and the truck was 23 feet and the RV is only a foot longer. So it's luckily not a big one that would be hard for me to drive. Ryan is very good at driving.
It's much more manageable than getting the traditional 34 foot, you know, we're towing something behind it. It's easier to park and you can get, we're going to go see friends in New York. So we can still put it on their court and go, you know, adventure through Queens.
And how long did it take you to kind of get used to, I guess, RV lifestyle? I don't know if that's a term, but just, you know, spending time driving and not having had the previous background of RVing before. Was it kind of easier than you thought? Or was it what you expected? Or was there anything different that made it hard?
I think it's a little mix of both, but we're still definitely getting used to the RV life. It's still fresh. So we're, you know, taking it one day at a time. Things break and you're just putting a lot of miles on it. The rig has 6,000 miles on it now, so we're still breaking it in and trying to figure out how to organize and just kind of move forward through the states.
I mean, so our progression of places that we've lived went from our 3,600 square foot home to our 800 square foot apartment in downtown Los Angeles to 100 square feet in the RV. And that's actually probably generous for the amount of space that we have. Yeah. And you know, the biggest issue is we are in an RV that's typically designed for shorter vacations and we're taking a long road trip. So we're going through all of the different climates. We have the baby stuff.
Yeah, not to mention an infant that has a carrier and a swing and
a stroller,
all those, you know, other things that really add up, especially on space.
And I mean, for me personally, obviously with our dog being on board as well as the baby, their comfort and safety is our first and foremost concern. So for Blue, the issues that we have with him for timing is that we like to stop often for him to go to the bathroom, and we see big fields that are safe for him to roam. Anytime that she needs a diaper change, we have to pull it over. And so those time adjustments for me is one of the hardest parts, because that has taken a lot longer than I expected. And we were preparing ourselves, I felt like, for the worst, but it has been a lot longer than we expected.
Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, when you're RVing, you have a pretty good kind of flexible schedule. But, you know, at some point you guys decided, instead of just visiting all 50 states, it kind of became like a challenge and, you know, chasing a Guinness World Record, essentially, right? So one of your goals is to visit all 50 states in under 5 months.
Yeah. Correct.
So how did that idea come along?
Well, it was during the planning process that we were starting to go through some of the states that we wanted to see. And we came across a story on one of the social media sites about this darling little girl. Her name is Harper. And she was one of the youngest recorded girls or babies to do it. And they had a 6-month timeline, but we weren't intending to break the record. It's just the time that we had allotted ourselves was less than 5 months of her life. So we found out, well, actually we'll be breaking that record. And it was something that kind of just naturally transformed into something bigger. And so we had reached out to Guinness, and Guinness, I didn't know this, but they receive 50,000 applications a year.
Oh, wow.
And so the response time can be up to 12 weeks. And they have a priority application process, but it's $1,000 for a new record, because this record currently didn't exist. And so we opted for the regular application, and Guinness is very strict on their requirements too. So this was something that we learned along the way. You can't just say, oh, I visited all 50 states, and they say, here's a record.
Mm-hmm. So you what have kind to of be- requirements did you have?
So our requirements was being able to prove our route. And so in our instance, photos can be manipulated. So photos aren't enough to prove the record. And so Ryan started working with an incredibly talented company called Bumper. And Bumper is a smart car alarm, and it notifies you through your phone when something disturbs your vehicle, when it's locked and turned off. And so for us, it was great because it was added security. But what helped us was they designed a custom device that tracks our GPS route and gives real-time data input. So we can track back exactly where we went, including the timeline. That will help us being able to prove our route. But the whole point of the trip wasn't actually breaking the record. It was being able to have these memories and hopefully making a documentary when we're done.
And what's the purpose of the documentary? Is it to show at a film festival, just to have as a keepsake?
So we like to dream big, but realistically, we said worst case scenario is we have an awesome video to look back on of our family trip. And Evelyn, obviously, she's an infant, so she's not going to remember the trip. And that's one of the first questions I feel like that a lot of people ask us is, well, she's not going to remember, so why are you taking the trip? But when she gets older, she'll be able to look back on these family memories with us, and she'll be able to see that, you know, we loved her from the start and how much fun that we had together. And I love looking at pictures from when I was younger.
I think the video and the photos as well, you know, mold you who you are. You don't necessarily remember your childhood, but you can look back at the photos and you're like, I remember that. And I think the experiences that she'll be able to have and look back on will, you know, mold her into somebody that's extraordinary as an adult.
Those are some of the same reasons that we kind of have for not only traveling with our children, but also documenting those memories in any way that we can, whether it's, you know, pictures or video and putting them up on YouTube. Yes, you know, part of the point of putting things on YouTube is to share it with others. But the more important thing for us in making these videos is to have those keepsakes and be able to go back and kind of show the kids, hey, you've been living an extraordinary life. And some people are not going to understand that, but hopefully you do. And hopefully you've been shaped by these adventures, whether kind of you remember them or not.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that is really fascinating to us is watching other travel families and seeing how their family evolves and how the kids grow up. And as far as a documentary goes, one thing that we hope is that if it did make it to a film festival, that we could show that it's feasible to travel with kids. And something that we would like to take away from this is that it's not always fun and games. And that's something that both you do, Rod and Jess, is you highlight some of the not so fun parts of traveling with children. And Evelyn is a great baby. We're so lucky with how easy she is, but she's still an infant. So we have the diaper blowouts. We have the moments where we just can't take a picture because she's fussy. And we would also like to highlight the
real life struggles with social media today. It just seems like there's too many glamorous shots and it's not real. It's not relatable. And that's something that we kind of want to highlight as well.
It's something that on social media, everyone always gives their highlight reel. It's easy to look and be like, oh, well, they had it easy on their trip. So we couldn't make that work, but we want to show kind of the comical, chaotic moments of the trip as well.
Life is messy and beautiful all at the same time.
Yeah, it's such an interesting concept, kind of trying to inspire other people to travel, but also giving them realistic expectations if that is what they want to do. Because as you said, yes, we put in highlight reels on Instagram and we show our family having these amazing times. But, most of those times aren't spent being happy. They are spent parenting, and parenting is going to be the same whether you're at home, whether you're on the road. So I think just the fact that you're doing it and the actions that you're taking to document it are amazing. And, hopefully I can get to watch the documentary once it's ready.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's gonna take a little while. I think just being on the road, that's one thing that has surprised me is how little time that we have. We're able to do social media right now. And I originally thought that I'd have the documentary done by the time that we were done with the trip, but it's something that is immediately following the trip that I'll be starting to work on.
And shifting more into kind of the planning and scheduling phase of your trip, knowing that you're getting started in California, making your way through all 50 states, it's got to be a little bit of a challenge kind of thinking of which route that you're going to take. And there's probably endless possibilities, mm-hmm. right? So how did you get started with actually planning the different legs of your trip and kind of setting that path to go through all 50 states?
So we initially made a list of the family and friends we wanted to see. Then we had to decide which way to head. And we decided to go through the southern route through Texas, up the Gulf Coast, and then the East Coast, because we were actually starting pretty early on in the year. We were starting at the end of March, and some of the northern states were still very cold. And so we were trying to follow the better weather patterns. And we picked our date that we wanted to be finished by. So we chose June 25th, which is just before her 5th month birthday. Then we had to go through with our timeline and decide how many days we had in each state. And we had to take into account, of course, some of the bigger states would need more days. But we knew that for us, what defined being in a state was spending a night in the state and having an attraction to see in the state, some type of adventure.
And of course, the state sign photo.
And the state signs are actually they're harder to find in some of the states.
Harder than you think.
But you also have to think of daylight. And so it's easier to see the sign in the daytime. So we have to plan our route around when we're able to take those photos. We kind of made a generalized list of attractions that were at the top of our list. And we made an Excel spreadsheet of each of the states. And then we had to work our way backwards. And I, of course, went to Google, went to social media, tried to find some of the most popular attractions in some of the states. And I had lists and, especially like Texas, you can't do all of Texas or all of Florida just because the states are so big.
Well, we could. It's just that with the timeline that we have allotted, it's basically 2 days per state or less. So taking time considerations, it's, we have to cut off quite a bit. So I think at the end of the trip, there's already New Mexico. I want to go back to the White Sands and spend a couple of days there, especially Grand Canyon. You could do a week there without a problem.
For us, for instance, we really wanted to do Austin while we were down here in Dallas, but it was so far from here, and Glacier National Park, but it was so far north that we would just have to make other sacrifices. So now I'm kind of excited because we have all of summer and we're able to go through each state and some of the places that we really wanted to go to. We still have that option because we'll still have the RV to go back and visit just after the trip is over.
And currently we're on schedule, on time. So.
Mm-hmm. And on average, how long are you driving every day to kind of get from one place to another?
On average, the daily breakdown is about 230 miles. Obviously, we just went through Texas, so it was, you know, a lot more. It was like 500 miles over 2 days. But yeah, on average, it's 230 miles. The rest of the trip, we probably have another 12,000 miles total to drive.
Okay. And did you build in any kind of flexible time in case you wanted to go and visit a kind of new destination that you hadn't heard about?
Yeah, we do have a contingency for our timeline. It's kind of built more in the center of the trip, I would say. But because we have people that we have to see, some of our friends are having to request time off. So in order, you know, to spend time with us when we get there. So there's a few points that we really have to be there on that day. But for instance, like in Arizona, we had to adjust our schedule and it ended up working out in our favor because we were able to do a lot more, but we're just making a list as we go of places that if we do want to see that we can come back to. And hopefully if this is something sustainable for us, we could do it full time for the rest of the year.
Knowing that you started kind of in the West and you're heading eastward, you've been through, was it 6 or 7 states at this point, right? What states are you kind of looking forward to, or what destinations or attractions are near the top of your list that you can share with us? And why?
I think both of us had different states that we were looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Of course, seeing our family and friends is trip highlights. But as far as the places go, I'll go first. I'm really excited for New England and like the lighthouses that are in Maine. I've always been fascinated with New England and the architecture. East Coast is just so much different than California architecture. And I've always wanted to visit Yellowstone in Wyoming. So I'm really excited for Wyoming. And also going through the South, there's just a lot of architecture and history there through Louisiana and the Gulf Coast.
How about you, Ryan?
I'm definitely excited to do the Bourbon Trail. We've been there before, but we didn't have the time allotted when we were there to really like do the experience and actually drive the Bourbon Trail. Being distillers, you know, it's the bourbon mecca. So I'm excited about that, as well as going to Montana and just kind of seeing the Big Sky country. You know, there's not a whole lot out there, but just beautiful scenery. Jenna's been to Louisiana before, but I'm definitely excited to do Bourbon Street down there and kind of see the South and get some really good, you know, Southern cooking.
We tried to pick contrasting places to visit too. So we wanted to do big, densely populated cities. We wanted to see the countryside, national parks, and just kind of everything in between. So we weren't sticking to only tourist attractions too, and trying to find some off the beaten trail sites.
Yeah. And we also want to connect with the community in that region, you know, see how they live and, you know, just connect.
And one of the coolest things about connecting, especially in an RV, is you guys have your, you know, your names and your social media handles kind of put on your RV itself, right? So do you get a lot of people that want to stop you, or do you get messages afterward or have chances to meet other people that say, hey, I recognize you guys and all of that, you know?
Yeah, we've had a lot of that happen. We actually went to Carlsbad Caverns and Jenna was in the passenger seat and this guy was kind of like waving us on. And Jenna's like, well, is he mad? I was like, no, he's like, he wants us to stop. And it happened to be a couple from Texas and they saw us on Facebook and it was, you know, we've been at this for, you know, 2 weeks now. And it's just amazing. We don't have a huge following, but this lady had seen us on Facebook and she pulled us over and we met her and
she was so excited.
She got to hold Evelyn and it's just amazing the power of social media and how small of a world it is.
I don't think it was until really it was the first day we left. We left on St. Patrick's Day and we were going up through Sacramento and how many people were honking and waving at us. And we thought, you know, it was really funny. And we of course figured people would give us a thumbs up as they were driving, but we didn't realize how much engagement we would get while we're on the road. I don't know, I guess it surprises how excited we would get, and it never gets old when people wave. So if he's on the road, please give us a wave. We love it. It's, you know, it's great though, because how many people have reached out just in these few short weeks of families that are saying, you know, it's very inspiring. They've always wanted to do it, of taking a trip and traveling. And that's kind of the purpose of the trip, is inspiring other people to get out and spend the time that they have together as a family.
No, that's amazing. And it's a very, you know, common goal of ours too. So we're going to be following along your adventures, because right now we are traveling the world, but eventually we do want to explore the US, you know, our home country, because there is so much that we haven't seen yet. So we're definitely going to be hitting you up for any advice. But in terms of advice, you know, if there's a listener out there that has been considering kind of making a transition, quitting their jobs and going into some kind of RV full-time lifestyle, do you have any recommendations, seeing that you've recently gone through it and you're on the road starting right now?
I mean, the biggest thing is just, you know, just to reach out, talk to other travel families that are currently on the road or they're traveling, asking for advice and engaging with them. And it was very surprising to us how many people were excited and willing to help, but you don't know if you don't ask. And this was one of our biggest takeaways, even from meeting you and Jess, is you have to ask in order to know. But as far as, you know, the planning goes, obviously you have to make sure that you can financially make the trip work, set a date. And even if it's not a 3-month road trip, even taking a weekend getaway, travel just instills such a sense of wonder in people. And it doesn't have to be far, you know, driving somewhere with your family. It just really gives you that time to reconnect.
Yeah. And I think that you don't have to jump straight into the pool like we did, but you could, you know, rent an RV, take a weekend excursion, you know, 100 miles from your home, and see what works, what doesn't work, and just, you know, take an adventure.
And I don't want people to think that we had unlimited resources when we were doing this. We try to be very clear that we had to make some huge sacrifices. And that is something that people have to keep in mind if they are looking at traveling. And the reality of selling things, getting rid of our cars. We had to sell our cars because we had nowhere to store them. The reality of leaving is a lot different. But, you know, if you are willing to make those sacrifices, the rewards on the other side, if that's something that interests you, is just, there's no price tag on that. It didn't matter. And you have to be aware, we don't eat out a lot. That was one of the reasons we had the RV. We were able to cook on board. And that does save a lot of money for us being on the road.
No, those are some amazing tips. And, you know, a lot of people will get hung up on the financial situation. But when you start kind of substituting your costs, when you no longer have to pay rent or a mortgage because you've sold that, and you're replacing those costs with just the cost of living while on the road, it tends to be
cheaper.
Cheaper or very similar to the expenses that you have while you're at home. So, you know, solving the financial piece and then finding out whether you're going to fund it through savings or doing it through remote work. I think those are challenging things to get through if you're considering this type of lifestyle, but it's not something that is impossible to solve on an individual basis, right? So, you know, we definitely agree with your recommendations. And if there are those of you that are considering this, you know, I think I can speak for Ryan and Jenna in letting people know that you guys can reach out to them at any point, whether it's through Instagram, through their website, or if you see them on the road, just go ahead and stop them, because they're a very approachable family. We're hoping that we can meet you guys one day, and, you know, really enjoying your adventure so far, and can't wait to see what the future has in store for you guys.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. We agree with everything you said. And we want to say thank you to you too, because you were one of the first families that we found through social media. And there's just the power of reaching out and connecting. And it's families like you that are so engaging and willing to see other families travel and succeed. And so we just want to say thank you to both of you so much.
No, thank you guys. I mean, we've been inspired ourselves, you know, when we got started by other families. So just being able to pass that on and to be able to help other people kind of live their dreams is really what keeps us moving forward. And being able to spend more time together as a family is just a gift that, you know, we are feeling so blessed about. So thank you, Ryan and Jenna. Best of luck on your trip. And, you know, say hi to little Evelyn for us, to Blue. And we look forward to continuing to follow on your travels.
Thanks so much, Rod.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jenna and Ryan, for joining me on today's episode. And I wish you the best of luck as you continue your travels all across the United States. If you're interested in following along on their adventures, you could always check out their Instagram at Evelyn Explores. In terms of next week, we've been getting a lot of questions, so we are going to dedicate the episode into answering all of those questions that we've been getting. Things about our travels, how we parent on the road, how we educate our children. So if you have a question that you want us to feature and answer on our show, feel free to message us on Instagram at The Jet Setting Family or reach out to us via email at hello@thejetsettingfamily.com. As always, we really appreciate taking the time for you to listen to today's episode. Make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss any future ones. And until next time, happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.